Sunday the 12th of November 2017, 10:45 service, service of remembrance. Bible reading, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18, and our talk is by Chris Tomes.
And we're going to have some words from scripture now, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and chapter 6. Verses 10 to 18.
Ephesians 6, from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled round your waists, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you are extinguished all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, folks, it's my pleasure now to introduce to you Chris Tomes. Chris, a great friend over many, many years, head teacher. And just to embarrass him, he's one of these head teachers who can go in, turn a school around, and make it into a really good school. We're very grateful, Chris, that you're here today to open up this word to us. Bless you, brother.
Thank you for that very warm introduction. It's a great pleasure to be invited here today on Remembrance Day to talk about the themes that we're looking at today. As been said, I'm a head teacher of a secondary school, and we all know the best thing about being a teacher, and that is the summer holidays. And every summer holiday, I always set a challenge for my students. I tell them, I want you to go somewhere that you've never been to before and find out about that place. And as I set that challenge, I thought, well, if I'm telling them to do it, I better do it myself. And I went to this place up on the screen, which is a place called Asiago. And it's in northern Italy. And it's a memorial that was built there after the First World War. And it's a particularly poignant part of history for my own family, because my grandfather served there in the First World War. 100 years ago, he was just about to finish his training at Fort Weymouth in Dorset, and set out across France, down to Marseille, up into northern Italy, and to join the Italian forces there to fight the Austro-Hungarian forces on the front line there. And as I went there to see this place, it was an incredible place. And afterwards, you could see the way that the community came together after that incredible battle that took place there, and came together and put this memorial together. And inside the memorial, there are hundreds upon hundreds of small plaques that are in there that remember the people that had fallen there at that time. Now, thankfully, my grandfather survived that battle. He survived that that war. He was a bombardier in the Royal Garrison Artillery based there, and came back. And it was his only trip ever that he went abroad. Only trip ever, really, out from Swanage to this place. But I had the opportunity to go and visit this place in the summer. And last summer, we went down. I went with my mum and my dad, took my dad there. And there was a place there that just came up on the screen, which was the train station at Asiago. And my grandfather sent a postcard from that train station. And it said this. He goes, this is one of the places we used to shell. And of course, it is one mass of shell holes. The Austrian line was just in front of this town. And it's a mass of ruins now. I cannot find a full view of the town anywhere. And I think we are just on the outskirts. So he didn't really know where that place was, but he was fighting there. We were sat in the cafe just on the side of that. I was sat there with my dad having a cup of tea, watching all the different life going around, the peace that was there in that place, and just thinking how different it was when I saw a photograph of my grandfather with a cannon aimed actually at that train station. Another thing my grandfather kept was he kept a diary of his preparations. Kept a diary. When he was at Fort Weymouth 100 years ago, he kept an account of all the things he did. And there's one here about the sequence of instructions that he was given. And it says this. Sequence of instructions. Say what you're going to do. Do it. Say when it's done. Do it again. Get the squad to do it. And then do it again. And that was his instructions as an instructor, as a bombardier. And I turn over the page and it says here, it goes through what to do with the men. It says, work on a system. Accuracy first, rapidity after. Avoid sarcasm. Teach by example. Don't bore the men. Frequently asked questions. And it just went through. And it's an incredible book written by him, just of all the things that were going through, obviously, his mind, but also in his training at that time. I was thinking about the difference between the words that were in my grandfather's book and the words that we heard from Ephesians chapter 6. And as we hear the full armor of God passage and that bit about being readiness, the readiness of taking the gospel of peace forward, and it's often referred to as wearing the boots of peace. Jesus spoke about this on the Sermon on Mount, said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. And I was in a RE lesson last week with my year 10 students, and I was asking them, what does a peacemaker actually mean? What do you think Jesus meant by those words, blessed are the peacemakers? And we got a lot into the discussion about, actually it's about stepping into situations where there's brokenness, where there's perhaps a breakdown in relationships, and where there is a desperate need for reconciliation. So I'd like to step forward now to the Second World War. I did a bit of research about this area in the Second World War. There's a website that talks about how many bombs came down in London during the Blitz from October 1940 through to June 1941. And in Chadwell Heath, they actually have mapped over 40 bombs that fell in this area during that time. And if you go into and look a bit wider and look at Barkingham, Dagenham, over 500 bombs fell in this area at that time. And I was thinking about that because I actually went to visit another city in the Midlands that also was under quite extreme bombing at that time, and that was Coventry. And I just want to tell you a story about what happened on the 14th of November 1940 in Coventry. The sound of sirens could be heard all over the city. People set about the familiar routine of getting into their shelters, including finding refuge in the cathedral crypt. Two men, Provost Howard and a guy called Jock Forbes, instead of going down into the shelter, climbed the tower of the cathedral, armed only with a bucket of sand, water, and garden brushes, two garden brushes. Now, at that time, what was happening was the German Pathfinder planes were coming in over the top of Coventry, and they were dropping what were called incendiary bombs onto the city. And they were bombs that would just set fire to things, and then the big bombers would come in afterwards and drop the bigger bombs onto that place. And their job was to stand on the top of the cathedral, and every time an incendiary bomb would hit the top of that cathedral, they had to run out with their bucket of sand, their water and their brush and brush them off the cathedral roof to prevent it, obviously, from burning through the cathedral. However, by 11 o'clock, tired and exhausted, they had to succumb to the inevitable. The roof came in and the cathedral was abandoned. The next day, one of the men comes down and sees the two beams from the cathedral overlapping in the shape of a cross. And he took those two beams, he lashed the two beams together and dragged it to the front of the cathedral. And he laid it up against these two words that had just been inscribed in gold at the back of the cathedral. And those were two words, were Father, forgive. Incredibly powerful words. It wasn't Father, forgive them. It was just the words, Father, forgive. At this point, people noticed a huge number. If you look very carefully, you can see very large medieval nails just sticking out of the beams. And the people noticed these large nails on the floor, and they collected together these nails and they fashioned them into crosses of nails. And those crosses of nails were sent out to every leader across the world as a message of peace. And here became a brand new ministry for the cathedral, a ministry of reconciliation. Justin Welby, our Archbishop of Canterbury, served as a reconciliation minister for 6 years at Coventry Cathedral. He's also appointed people into his team that have a mission of reconciliation to work across the world in this time. One account following the bombing of the 14th of November was this. As I went into the ruined cathedral on the morning after the destruction, there flashed in my mind the deep certainty that as the cathedral had been crucified with Christ, so it would rise again with him. How or when, we could not tell, the cathedral would rise again. We see conflict on a daily basis. It's there on our television screens, the war, the destruction, families in bombed out neighbourhoods. On Friday, I was in the reception of my school, and there was a young lady just come into the school, just about to start the new school. Asked her where she was from. She said she was from Iraq. And I said, started talking to her about it. And she said these words. I said, we asked her about the bombs going off in the city. And she said these words. Oh yeah, the bombs were going off. It's nothing to worry about because that was on the other side of the city. It never fell in our street. And I was just thinking about how humbling those words were. Conflict comes in many forms. In my job, I see conflict come out as many different ways, between families, between friends, parents. A great deal of my job as a head teacher is in the midst of conflict. Reconciling differences is an important part of our Christian ministry. And that cross of Jesus stands for the ultimate reconciliation between God and us as a people. In 2 Corinthians, Paul states, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And reflecting back on the full armour of God, are we ready? Are we fitted with that readiness, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? Martin Luther King summed up some of these words. He said very clearly that man must evolve for all humans conflict, a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. And he said the foundation of such a method is love. As we as Christians, we understand that love to be Jesus. So let us, in the words from Ephesians, walk with boots of peace. Let's walk into situations and then walk out of them knowing that we've left that situation a better place than perhaps as we walked into that situation. Let's know that we are reconciled to God and that we can bring about God's peace into this world in practical ways, just in the week ahead, thinking about how we can do that in very simple ways. Acts of kindness, acts of reaching out, acts of supporting and helping one another. Let's go confident that Christ is in us, he goes before us, and let us encourage one another to think about our actions, think about our words, and think about how we can share the experience of the love of Christ in other people. And just as we finish, I just want to, first of all, thank you for inviting me here today, but I just want to just lift up in prayer just some thoughts as we come to the end of my talk. Let us pray. Dear God, we give thanks for those who have given up so much for us. We pray that we may be a shining light of reconciliation to other people, and that through your strength we may bring your peace into the different situations we face in the weeks ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.